prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Don't miss the Southeast Construction Expo, the premier CPD accredited conference and exhibition. Hear from leading industry speakers, find out about major projects, free meet the buyer and lots more. Thursday, 13th of September 2018 at the South of England Event Centre with free parking. Visit www.constructionexpouk.co.uk.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 14th of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and my lovely co-host, Miss On a Bike.
All right.
All right.
All right, my lover.
All right. All right, dear.
Yes. That was a good mastermind session, wasn't it?
It was. It was.
That's what we wanted, wasn't it?
Yeah, we could have done with a little more time, but I had to break for the news. Sorry about that.
That's
but,
all right.
But I thought it was interesting, and we got some good feedback from our guests too, which is exactly what we wanted. So that's lovely.
Good.
Thank you for that, Bird. So,
Thank you.
Learn by failure. That's what we need. Keep going.
Well, even just the fact of you've got to keep learning.
Yeah.
We don't want to learn anymore. We're like, oh, no, I know. Not that I know everything. I wouldn't even say that from some people. I just think we don't think we have to learn anymore. Or, do you know what? It's, let the kids do that. And I'll sit here and I'll read. No, go and do it with them, you know. Louis was out there and he's going, Mum, do this. And all these other guys are out there and they're all like, what? And there's my 17-year-old, you know, and I are sharing an experience together.
Yeah.
Wow. And we go running together and we do. That to me is my nirvana. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I can share these experiences. Look at the dramatic cosign. We even did a Facebook Live, me and him. I mean, he doesn't, I don't really bring the children in.
Yeah, sure.
He's in the background and, you know, and it's just great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Cool. We've got loads of tweets to read, and we've got some emails, and we've got another great guest to talk to. So in the second half of the show, we'll be ramping all of that up. We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Telcare, the telecoms company over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester. And they say good afternoon to all you folks on the Business Bunker Show. So thank you. And there's a big gift that says thank you.
Which is it's lovely. All going to come in now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I love them. I love them. It's nice that people are starting to. This is what I mean. This is what we love about the tweets, is that you start interacting with us as we speak live.
Absolutely. So what you got, Bert?
I've got a great one. You know, we've been talking about women in business, so we breakthrough women. So we've got another Women in Business lunch, which is with speakers. So this is the Women in Business lunch. Speakers are Kim Arnold and Jill Perry, OBE, and she's the former CEO of the Anne Frank Trust. Really interesting woman. I did some research on her because I thought, oh, who is this woman? I need to have a look at her. And it's chaired by the amazing Emma Lydiard, and that's the MD of Heart Kent, and that's radio. And this is the 25th of September at Braeburn House, East Malling. And you can get the details and book through www. KentWomenInBusiness.co.uk. It's like a, it was like a space between us then.
Yeah, no, well, I'm
what are you doing?
Well, I looked at my Twitter feed and I suddenly saw there's 145 tweets and I thought, oh, blimey, I better start queuing some of them up and reading some of them. Sorry about that. And there's loads of interesting tweets. Lisa Settles just tweeted, actually, she said, David will be delighted, David's her husband, will be delighted to hear that the Dartford Wobbler got a mention on the radio.
Oh, I love it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, he sneaks out to the brewery to stock up every weekend and he thinks I don't know.
Oh, right. They're lovely people at the brewery as well. So one of my favourite people. I can sit, it's one of those people that I go to, you know, my time restraint, and I'll go there thinking I'll be there for 10 minutes, and we end up leaving about half an hour later and talked about all sorts of things. But it's honestly, it's one of the best bitters I think I've ever tasted.
I have to say, Charles, I think you're the only person I've ever met now in business that I really think you need to get a limousine driven car.
Thank you.
Because you must turn around and say to people, no, I'm sorry, I can't taste because I'm driving.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you see what I mean?
Well, you'd normally get a little, like a 50 mil shot or something like that, and that'll be enough. You generally, with a beer, so I've had to take about three sips to get clears your palate adjusts yeah. and you get the full flavours. Yeah.
Can I just say, really I love a stout. I love stout yeah. so
you love
much.
A, you love a stout what?
The thicker it is, the more hairs it puts on your chest. I love
I
it.
I wonder where she was going with that for a minute.
I ignored you.
Do you see the look of panic on my face?
James, I just ignore yeah. bad behaviour.
Yeah.
It's one of the best stouts in the county is by Time and Tide. It's called Kraken. It's a double coffee stout, 7.4%.
It's
got about three shots of coffee.
Can we not get him on the show or something?
Yeah. Well, funnily enough,
I was going to bring some along, but
what's wrong with you? Well, we love gifts and flowers.
I got back at 2 o'clock in the morning last night, and I just about scraped myself out of bed in enough time this morning. And it was only when I was sitting down in reception I thought, oh, bugger. I was doing a tasting event and I was getting it all, doing all these boxes and putting it all together. I had a couple of those spares. So I had one, I was, oh, that's nice. And I had the other one. It was up until about 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep. It's just you. It's too much.
I'm loving that.
Yeah. Look at the smile on her face.
I don't drink much at all.
Look at a little smile on her face. I'm laughing.
Genuine excitement there.
I love that. Charles, you're my next new best friend.
If you go to Macnade Fine Foods in Faversham, they've got a really good selection there, but you'll find Kraken there.
Right.
There you go. I've had a tweet from the Business Diaries.
Oh, what are they doing?
And I said, Vanilla Webb, can we have a shout-out, please? Can you please let the listener know that tickets are on sale for the next Business Diaries? It's a storytelling event on Thursday, the 13th of September, at the Medway Innovation Centre. Have a fab show. Many thanks. And you can order the tickets via Eventbrite, or you can follow them on the Twitter, The Biz, B-I-Z Diaries. The Biz Diaries is fabulous. I've been to every single one so far, and there's been loads. Basically, it's a networking event with a difference. There are five people that tell a story, and they tell a story about business, but it's nothing to do with their business per se. They're not selling their business. They're not trying to educate you. They're telling you a story that happened to them during their business life. And the stories, I've been to about five of the events so far now, and the stories have some have made you cry, some have made you laugh, some have made you stop and think. They've been completely different. Bird was one of the speakers at Business Diaries. It's just different, isn't
it? It's lovely.
It's just a completely different type of event. And the next one's on the 13th of September. I'm going to be there. I recommend you go. It's such a good event, and the stories are wonderful. It's storytelling how it used to be.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sitting around a campfire storytelling type thing, really.
It's really interesting. We had some feedback from a lot of events that I put on. And one feedback was either there's not enough stories or it's too many storytelling.
Yeah.
And you can never... So it's really interesting where you go to this. It is purely personal stories. And it's not, oh, I wanted you to tell me more about how you got into business, or I wanted you to tell me more about the secrets of business, or can you tell me... It's not any of that. It's just, wow, this is who I am, or this is a funny story about me, or
a funny thing
this
happened.
Is how I'm using
my
story in business.
Yeah, a funny thing happened to me
business.
On the way to work, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's wonderful.
Yeah, we're just some amazing stories. All the whole range of emotions in the stories as well. Really interesting stuff.
Well, there's I wasn't here last week, so I'm going to speak about it now. But this is another one for Ethel Bray. But this was because they sent us through journals, didn't they? They had 30 years of anniversary. And they sent me through a journal kindly, and I said, oh, I'm going to journal in it. I'm going to write my next book and everything, blah, blah, blah. And then I missed the tweet because obviously I was away last week. So it says, at Vanilla Web at Bird and a Bike, thanks for the shout out last week and delighted the journal will be put to good use. The secret of 30 years of marriage, because we're desperate to know, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're like, please help me. Is Keith says he's not sure, but can't afford to leave. And maybe that's it. He makes me laugh both intentionally and unintentionally. I tell you what, I love that. So I just had to read it out because, of course, I wasn't here last week.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So that's the secret.
Absolutely. I want to tell you something. This is a little bit in line with what we just talked about with the Business Diaries. It's a totally new event, and I've never heard of anything like this anywhere before. And it's been organised by Amanda Flanders, and it's a thing called the Speakers Platform. Be seen and be heard. And it's taking place on Wednesday the 12th of September at 6:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. at Fruitworks in Canterbury. Are you a speaker? Would you like to practice your speaking skills? Would you like to use your skills to win a competition, giving you the chance to improve your speaking and helping you to elevate yourself as a professional speaker? So the idea behind this is that it's for people that would that enjoy public speaking and would like to make some money out of doing it. Okay, that's the overall principle here. You should join us at the Speakers Platform on Wednesday, the 12th of September. We would like to hear your business journey, your highs and your lows, your successes and your failures. The prize for the overall winner will be a one-to-one coaching session from each of our judges who will share with you ways to improve your speaking and earn money as a professional speaker. A video of your talk of the night, fully edited and ready to use as part of your speaker reel. A speaking slot at the December Business Diaries, as we've just been talking about, and some other extras thrown in. Our judges are me. I'm a former professional speaker, and I worked on the international speaking circuit for nearly 15 years, actually. Jane Farnham, who is a director of the Great British Speakers Bureau, and Amy McManus, who has just won Business Female Speaker of the Year. They're the judges. You have to submit your entry before the 31st of August. All the details and your submission go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/thespeakersplatform. So basically what's going to happen is you're going to write a small bio on what your topic is about, okay, and you're going to submit that and come on the night. On the night, the judging panel will read all of the bios and select just four to actually get up and do their presentation. Then we'll pick a winner from that, and that winner will go on to receive the prize. So it's all, you know, you just got to sit there and wait and hope that you get up. And if you do get up, then you kind of progress. It's going to be a really interesting evening. I'm really looking forward to it. There's going to be some fantastic talks. So if you'd like to do that, get your talk submitted now. butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/thespeakersplatform.
Right, Mr. Andrews, what are you looking for?
What?
What are you looking for?
For what?
In speakers?
Don't know. Interesting stories. So good content. A nice delivery. Relaxed delivery.
How much detail are you going to go into? Are you going to go into, oh, I didn't like the way they had their hands in the pocket. I don't know their tonality. I don't like the way they structured it. Are you going to go into structure, pitch, tone? What do you, how, to give a speaker idea of what you want from them?
Yeah, yeah. I think each of the judges will be different.
And that's why I'm asking,
in terms of what they want.
Yeah.
In terms of what I want, I like people that are natural. So I like people that don't work off notes. I couldn't care less if they stumble over what they're saying. I can't care less if they forget what they were saying for a moment. I like people to be real. I can't stand any of this, you know, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the customers, I am speaking in public. I can't be doing with any of that. I like to hear natural storytellers. The kind of thing I like to hear is the kind of thing where somebody's standing at a bar and goes, you never guess what happened to me. And you go, no, what happened to you, mate? And they'll tell you, yeah? And, you know, they'll forget, they'll pause, they'll stumble. I don't care about any of that. It's, are you engaging? Yeah. Have you got content that's engaging, and can you make it engaging by the way you deliver it? For me, that's the key thing. You know, the content's important, but how you deliver the content is the most important thing, because it's that depends on whether people will listen to you or not.
It's really interesting. I think it's such a subjective.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally subjective. It is totally subjective. And there are different things that take place, because it all depends what you're telling me. Yeah. If you teach me, you know, if you were teaching me about nuclear science, you can't really be very glib about that. You can, oh, and then the uranium went off. Oh, dear, what a mess when we all turned green. Yeah. You can't do that, can you?
You wouldn't be around to be able to.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you go, you're a liar, you'd be dead. Yeah. You know, so it all depends what type of talk you're doing and how you're doing it and what the point of your talk is. So that's why it is incredibly subjective. So if someone stands up and says, I'm going to tell you something poignant about mental health or something, you're not expecting to have a laugh. Yeah. You're expecting to be informed. Whereas is some, you know, so
yeah, I get yeah, it.
So you're kind of being led by whatever it is they're talking about.
We should get Amanda Flanders on the show, you know. Not, and I'm being serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it would be really good to. And I know you probably don't want to give too much. I don't know how much you want to give away, so I don't know what it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's all that. Do you use cue cards? Do you not? Do you use slides? Do you not? Do you use? So it's really an interesting playing field.
Yeah,
of what's going on in the speakers arena at the moment.
Yeah. The funny thing is, you can. Again, it all depends how you do. You see, you've seen me speak hundreds of times. I never use slides. I never use PowerPoint. I don't use any technology at all, and I don't have notes. I just waffle. Yeah,
that's not true. You don't waffle. You are very. I'm going to be really honest. You are very knowledgeable about certain areas. Mm. You don't decide to go off and talk about something you don't know about.
Sure,
that's the difference.
And you should never do that.
No,
you should never give a talk that you don't understand. That, you know, the whole point when I used to teach public speaking is you only speak about something you know about. If you try and go off piste, you're dead in the water. Mm. No, you know, you're absolutely right from that point of view. But you can use those things. But if you are going to use them, you've got to use them effectively and not use them as a weapon. You know, so many people fail as public speakers because they read the slides to you. And everybody hates that with a vengeance.
Or it's a reminder of where you are in your talk. Well, I'm sorry, you should know where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
What drives me nuts is people that keep looking behind them at the slides. So they'll look around and go, right. And then on channel radio, didn't you know you were going to say that? You know, crazy.
Unlike us here who have memorised this for 2 hours.
Well, we did a four-hour pre-planning session, didn't we, in which we worked all this out. And then we wrote it all down.
Yep. And we understand when somebody's going to talk and not.
Yeah. Or not.
It's genius.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Cool.
Awesome.
Do you know what? I think we ought to talk to another guest.
I'd like to hear from him.
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? Mm. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, also for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Kevin Thorpe of Big Jam Studios. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
That's an absolute pleasure. Kevin's been wandering around my studio looking at it and going, is your sound okay? And all that, you know, have you got a compressor on there? Because he's a bit of a specialist with studios, is this young man. You've also been a bit of a DJ as well, haven't you, Kevin? Kevin Energy Thorpe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Formerly known. Well, I still do a bit. I can't. It's in my blood. Yeah.
Well, let's kick off. So tell us a bit about you, Kevin, and where you started and what you do and how you do it. And then we'll move on to Big Jam Studios and what you're doing there.
That is a lot, isn't it?
It is.
So we rewind time,
like
back to teenage years. I brought a pair of belt drive turntables when I was about 13 years old. Great news for me. Bad news for the next door neighbours. Did get a few council complaints as well.
Right.
Ended up moving into my dad's house because my parents had split. And by sheer fluke, the tenants in the house previously to him that he rented had built a soundproof studio in the garden.
Bonus for me. Yeah. That was before they met Charles here, because they could have put a bar in it.
Would have had a bar. If we'd have met back in those days, of course I was too young to drink then, but you know, not saying I didn't. So I had my decks in this shed, and my dad had lodgers in his house as well, and they were banging to raving, clubbing and everything, and they knew a guy on a pirate radio station in London. So this is before the days of the internet and all of that jazz. So the only way you could hear proper underground rave music, because you weren't going to hear it on the mainstream radio, was to tune into pirate radio, and there was heaps of these stations. And this one in particular, there was a contact there through my dad's lodgers. One day someone hadn't turned up for their show. There was a big, you know, cry for help. Can someone cover this show? It went through my dad's lodgers. They said, there's a great guy, he's the son of my landlord, we can recommend him. So my dad drove me down to Clapham in London as fast as he could, and
where were you based then?
I was in Hillingdon, West London.
Okay, so a bit of a trek.
Yeah. And I did a radio show. I had an MC. So back then you were a DJ, you have an MC partner, someone giving a bit of bit about, and all that stuff. Bigging up the channel radio massive, all of that. And I did a good job, and I got invited back to do a regular show. It was all right time, right place, basically. And suddenly I was a DJ on a pirate radio station.
What sort of music was it?
It was happy hardcore.
Oh, really?
Yes,
yeah. Oh,
nice. Going back to the 90s. Yeah. And there was a guy, this is all like right place.
I've got no idea what they just said.
They started talking in Klingon all of a sudden. I go, you know, and then, yeah.
I'm with you.
I'll have to send you a link to a rave anthem. Hey?
Yeah.
So the guy on the show after me, after I'd done a few shows, he said to me, you're getting a bit of a rep on this show. Have you ever thought of making a tune, your own song? And I said, never. I don't know a thing about it. I don't know how it's done. And he said, well, I'll fund you to go to the studio. And I said, well, I wouldn't know what to do. He said, it's fine. There's an engineer there. He said, can you play the piano? I said, I can play the piano, actually. I'd self-taught myself, just some basic chords. So I come up with a little piano riff. And he said, listen through loads of other songs on vinyl. Find little sounds that are on their own clean, and we can sample them, and we can play our own rhythms with them. So I went into this studio not knowing a thing about it at all. And I left after a day and a half's work with this engineer with a track, which I thought was amazing. You know, I didn't know if it was or not, really. I just thought it was great.
The fact that you'd done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But it actually became like the biggest rave anthem of the whole year. Wow. So I went to a rave the following weekend with a dub plate. Do you know what a dub plate is?
Nah.
It's an acetate. It's a piece of vinyl that they put the vinyl over a piece of glass. So it's a one-off record. It costs about 50 quid to have it made.
Right, okay.
You can play it about 50 times. But it's how the DJs get an advanced copy. Because back then, remember, this is pre-digital stuff.
Yeah.
So the only way to have an advanced copy of something and play it at a rave is on a dub plate. And I went to the front of this rave, and I waited till my favourite DJ walked through the crowd to go on. And I said, look, I've cut this dub plate for you. Will you have a listen to it? And he took it off me and said, yes. And then three or four songs into his set, he played it at this rave.
Right.
You're talking 15,000 people, and it just became like a rave anthem. So I got fast-forwarded to success, and I was an international happy hardcore rave DJ for
happy
years.
Hardcore rave DJ? I want to be one of those.
There's fantastic. Still time, Paul. There's
Is
still
it?
Time.
Yeah.
I feel like you should have an entourage with you or something
on that. Oh, yes, they're all downstairs. Yeah. So that was in the 90s?
That was the 90s, yeah.
And you became an international rave superstar.
Yes.
And you were doing loads of raves.
Yep.
Around Europe, UK?
Mostly in the UK, but I did do tours yearly to Australia, Canada, Denmark, Japan, the USA. Yeah, I was on the road a lot. I was clocking some mileage, serious mileage.
But were you enjoying it at the time?
I was loving it.
Yeah.
And I was running a record company as well.
So what kind of age were you then, Kevin?
Well, I was 15 when I was playing at raves that you had to be over 18, and my dad was nicknamed the ultimate raver because he was driving me everywhere. And I turned his shed into a youth club. It was like the after party shed.
Right.
Yeah, we'd have loved a bar there. Would have been great. And he was a big supporter of me, and if it wasn't for his help, you know, I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in now. He's always given me that helping hand and driven me around.
Yeah.
And we went partners in my record company in 1998. We borrowed £1,000 and we started our own record company. And to this day, I'm still releasing music on it. It's called New Energy Records.
Right.
And we are on 106 releases now.
Wow, okay.
So we've got a good back catalogue going
on. And are you still? Is it still rave music?
It's still really hard as nails, banging hardcore rave music, yeah.
Fantastic.
It is. Yeah, it's true to what it was in the first place.
And at some other time, I'll tell you my one and only story about rave, which is not good.
Not for on air, no?
No, it's not, no. But a few years ago, it was raves were big. Just for those of us not involved in the scene, almost every weekend you'd see something about a rave that went down somewhere, and illegal raves and all kinds of things.
It's very legal now, and it's all big business, and there's big money men in it. It was an underground movement.
But exactly, yeah.
You've got to tune into Radio 1, and every Friday night they're saying, are you raving or misbehaving?
Yeah.
So it's now a commercial
world. It's gone mainstream,
They think that your regular nightclub in a town that shuts at 2 playing chart music is a rave, you know. It's kind of, it's become a fashionable word.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, us true.
Do you wish it was still underground and illegal, and did it have an element of something
what? Nothing I did was illegal apart from the pirate radio station, of course.
Yeah.
But none of the events I did were illegal. Every rave I did was at a licensed venue.
Yeah.
So I was never, I'm still too young to be to be involved in the first movement. I joined in as young as I could. And at that point, it had already become a commercial thing. And it is what it is. So now I don't regret anything.
No, but what I'm trying to say is when it becomes mainstream, does it lose that element?
100%. Oh, yes.
I mean, we were talking a little bit about this before we came in, weren't we? Like, because the festival I've just come back from is all that sort of rave music. There's a bit of side trance there.
Yeah.
It's a bit of happy hardcore there.
He's doing it again.
I've got no idea.
He's doing it again.
But, you know, obviously back in the day, it's a nicer community. There's a lovely, there's a lovely element to go into these smaller things.
When people feel like they're part of something special that other people don't know about, it's great. But of course, other people know about it because it's so good. Mm. And then you get your tagger honours that come because they've heard it's good, not because they buy into the ethos of what it is. We were having a good old chat about that before we come on
it. The side of it now it's got popular. Like where I've just come from, the production value in the whole festival. I mean, these stages have got like, you know, tens of thousand pound lighting rigs on them, laser rigs. Some of them are like breathing fire. Mm. You know, they've got sound systems you can hear from miles away. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, because back in the day it would have been a stage and a few lights and the people really make it, whereas now it's the show, the spectacle that you can
put on. It's like Boardmasters.
I mean, honestly, like, I'll show you some photos after the show. Yeah. These festivals, that festival in particular now is just, it's inspiring to see the amount of effort that you can put into the show now, rather
absolutely. So Kevin, are you still DJing on the road scene?
I do a little bit. So what I did is in 2011, I realised I was a bit burnt out. You know, I had a very hectic schedule for years running the record company. You know, that was run from an office in my house, in the basement of my house. Mm. And then I was going straight out to do my gigs on a Friday, was covering 800 miles or jumping on planes. And then on Monday morning, my staff were coming to work at the office. And I oversaw the demise of vinyl, started a digital download store. That was stressful. I lost a lot of money when record stores and distributors went bankrupt. That was stressful, the gigs. So I burnt myself out, to be quite honest with you. So I did a farewell tour in 2011. Prior to that, I'd gone on holiday to Thailand and I'd sat on a beach and in my head, I'd said to myself, can I do this forever? And the answer was no. So I come up with a plan called Evacuation Rave. And I wrote down everything I wanted to achieve to leave things on a really good high. And I achieved every single one of those things in the following year, made an announcement, said, you know, I'm going to take time away from the scene. And I left it on an absolute high. I'd just won awards, best hard dance DJ. And I actually won outstanding contribution to the industry after I'd left as well. So I left it at a pinnacle height.
You peaked out.
I peaked out, yeah. And I needed to think about the bigger picture and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just wanted to write music still because it's all I'd done. So I rented a studio or a space in Sittingbourne and I did it out as a studio because I thought, you know what, I still want to be involved in music and I didn't really know where the studio was going to go. And that is Big Jam Studios, which is the business that I have now.
Okay. And you launched that in?
That was the start of 2012.
Right. Okay. Now, I've been over to your studios in Sittingbourne and you fitted them out to do quite a number of different things, though, isn't it, really? Yeah. It's not just music that you're going to do there now.
Not at all. Now, you've come to visit my new space. So the space I started back then was small. It was the cheapest place I could afford. And things have all really organically grown with the business. So I didn't have a direction at all in mind. I just knew I need to be in this industry. Mm. And I thought, I'm going to open up the doors to the public. Mm. I didn't actually launch it off the back of my rave name at all. I didn't want that associated with it. I wanted it to be a local business because I could have been an engineer producing other people's rave tunes. Sure. But I was like, no, I want this to be completely separate and start from the ground up. So at first, we were just doing music services. And we had two rooms. We had a live room and a control room. So the control room's the mixing room. The live room is where you track the live instruments. So I decided to put photography gear in there and rent it out to photographers when I wasn't on a booking. So I was like, okay, I need to make this space earn some money. So we were a combined photography and music studio. And I've always produced my own videos as well. So I was doing some video work there as well. And really, we've built the brand and become a really, you know, recognised company, but we were being held back by the space we were in. Now, Jam wasn't big enough. Big Jam wasn't, you know, that big to be honest.
Small Jam.
Yeah. So, last year, I bit the biscuit and I put all my energy and focus into having the studio that we deserve as a business, and you come to see that. So we've got a big infinity cyclorama wall for video. We've got state-of-the-art LED lighting. It's a bit like my own personal nightclub, to be honest with you, and I need to have a private party there, but not announce that on a radio station. That's a bad idea. We do live streaming. We do children's parties, pop star parties for kids, where they make a music video, record a song, and have a photo shoot. Mums are going nuts for it, and I've got people coming from London in limousines.
I can imagine, yeah.
Essex, South Coast.
In stretch limos.
I swear to God, they're going to the CAF for £50 notes. People in the CAF are like, what's this? We don't have this in Sittingbourne. What's going on? And so that's something for fun. That's an entertainment party. But on the serious front, we've got bands and musicians I'm producing for. As I said, Jason Allen, you mentioned him, is a really good singer. Jazz singers, gangster rappers, rave artists, indie bands, drum and bass producers, all sorts of stuff I'm producing music for, but more importantly, video as well, because as a music act these days, you need video as well as great sounding tracks.
Yep.
And we do corporate video. We do video for business, and it's got a bit of an edge to it because I've not got your average background, it's fair to say.
Absolutely. But it's interesting, isn't it? And as you say, I've been to your new studios.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic setup. You know, you've got all these curtains, so you can bring a green screen around, or your black curtain backdrop, and you can just set up different stuff there. It's really cool.
It's a modular space.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. It's modular. You can rebuild it in seconds, in minutes, to do something different.
That's right.
Mm. So, how long have you been in the new space?
We've been open since January, since the start of this year.
Okay. So you're coming up kind of 8 months. How's it going?
Really well.
Yeah, cool.
Amazingly well, yeah.
And where do you see yourself going with this?
Well, it's a funny one because, as I said to you at the start, I didn't really know where I was going then. Mm. But I've got much more of a focus and a direction now. Mm. So I'm training staff to host the parties. Right. So. Still at this point, it's myself and my fiancée that host the party. She's a ex-drama teacher from school, so she's great with kids. And I've got the techie background, so she does the pictures and some hosting, and I do all the technical stuff. But I'm training two more members of staff to host those parties, and we're also training two photographers.
Right.
Because so we want the parties to be booked every weekend and for us not to be hosting the parties.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm putting in a lot of hours in the week. Corporate video has really popped off for us recently. We've got a good rep, so the work we've done has spoken for itself. And I'm really trying to reach out and encourage local business owners to. We're trying to make it like an affordable thing for small businesses, small to medium sized businesses. We're like, look, you know, you can have a video for actually this much money. It can look good and be engaging. And we're doing live streaming. So the live streaming for musicians is a really exciting new thing where you can go, a lot of bands are going live on their phone. On Facebook, because they know everyone's going to see it.
Yep.
But they sound awful because the phone's picking up all this high decibel music and there's no balance between the mix. But they're doing it because they know people are going to see it, but they're actually not doing themselves any favours because they'd sound a lot better if it could be done better. So I think we're the only venue now in the whole of Kent where you can come as a musician and be professionally live streamed like a TV show. So the music is mixed for a professional studio desk and broadcast in sync with the HD cameras.
Mm.
And we can put lower third text into the broadcast, Twitter feeds. We can even get someone to phone in and interview. So that's a brand new concept that I don't think musicians know is available yet. So I really want to push that. It's a future-proof thing.
Yeah. Fantastic.
You can see my head's going.
Yeah.
We need to speak. We need to speak.
I'm absolutely sure. I might be wrong here, but I'm absolutely sure Kevin also asked if he could do a rave DJ set on Channel Radio. I'm sure he did. Or maybe I'm making
was
it up.
What was that music you said?
Happy Hardcore.
Was it Happy
Hardcore?
That
was exactly what he said, yeah. Oh, I'm glad you remembered.
And the other one, Fuzzy something.
Yeah.
Psytrance.
Psytrance.
Yeah, we'll be
that's
looking,
what you need to do.
I'll be looking for Fuzzy stuff.
Yeah, Fuzzy Psytrance, that's what you need to do.
Cool. I love what you're doing, Kevin.
Thanks.
We've got time for a question, please.
Yeah, of course you have. Yeah.
Kevin, because I'm really interested, why wouldn't you start with where you already were? You've got this amazing fan base, and you said, I wanted to start from the ground up.
Mm.
What made you choose that decision rather than actually doing both or producing and then building the business from a platform you'd already built anyway?
It's an interesting one, that, isn't it? Because when you're a producer in the rave scene, or in that kind of music, people come to you. This, in fact, you can look at my story and how I got there. People come to you with no knowledge of how to write a track at all, and you write that track almost for them. So I went to that engineer when I was 15 years old. I didn't know how to write a track at all. I just had some chords, and he did a lot of the magic. I didn't want to be selling my inspiration on other people's music. I wanted to be a music producer, but I wanted to be producing other people's songs, not writing them for them. So if I'd have said, here's a studio, I can be a rave producer, people would have come to me. I'd have made a lot of money, yes, but I'd have still just been doing rave music, and I wanted to expand, learn more as a person. Okay, and there's so much more out there than just that scene, and when you're in that scene, you're very tunnel vision, and you don't feel like you're even at times I didn't feel like I was part of real society because you're part of this underground movement.
Well, the language is so and you can see us two go got no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It is a completely different language.
Yeah. It's a world within a world, and I wanted to be part of the real world, and I wanted to grow and expand my horizons.
It's interesting, and it's part of the conversation we were really having with Bird earlier.
It's the same one.
It is, isn't it? That says, you know, at what point do you let go of what you know and learn something new? And, you know, there's two ways of looking at this. By all means, stick with something you know if you feel comfortable and you're enjoying it. I think that's a key thing. If you're doing something you enjoy and you want to do it, you keep doing it, yeah? But if you're getting to the point, you know, Kevin made reference to the fact he felt burnt out.
I was burnt out as well. So there was a health aspect there.
So it was
going
to bring that all back for you anyway.
So basically making that break, even from something that you love, but it's got you to the point where you've gone, do you know what? This is, you know, doing me in.
Yeah.
By making that break and doing something different, you start off on a different trajectory. But what Kevin's done is in my terms anyway, he's used all of that experience and knowledge and put it into a kind of slightly different direction. And that is perfect. That's the perfect way to grow something else.
It was a bold move. And there was people out there that thought I was absolutely nuts. But I didn't question it at all. It didn't.
But that's the exciting thing, isn't it? When somebody says you're mad, I go, yes.
Start raving bonkers, mate. I'm on it now.
Yeah. You know,
you are mad, though.
Yeah, she is. Bonkers.
But that's the thing, isn't it? If somebody said to me, oh, I reckon, that's lovely, I'm like, oh. No, it's not right.
Yeah.
So, no, I agree with you totally.
Good.
Absolutely. And as I say, I've been to your studios. I love what you're doing. I love all the ideas that you've got around this and the new things that you've pioneered with what you're doing. I think it's absolutely fabulous. It sounds to me like, you know, if you keep on going like this, you're going to have to open some more studios, though.
You're not the first person to say that, and I can't comprehend that at the minute, because that was a stressful move. That was definitely, you know, not plain sailing at all. That was getting smashed down by a few surfboards material there.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know if I could see that through, but who knows?
Yeah.
It's a journey, isn't it?
Where is it? Where is it to?
In Sittingbourne is the studio, on the Eurolink, in an industrial estate.
Yeah. You know, but we all start with things like that. You know, when we launched the radio station in a shed, on a farm on Romney Marsh, you know, you don't think about where you're going to go with that, or, you know, or you do, but you think, we ain't going anywhere with this because this is going to take forever to go anywhere. And before you know it, we've now got three stations and we've got two studios and we're just building a new studio. And these things just evolve as time goes past. If you keep going with stuff, it evolves and eventually you make the decisions. They're tough decisions. They are, you know, they're absolutely tough. This is blimey. Think of all the pain we went through to build this, and now we're going to do it again. Are we mad?
Yeah.
But we are mad. That's the whole point. You know, we're bonkers. And that's why we do it, because we're bonkers and because, you know, a lot of people will rationalise it away and go, you know, it's exactly what you said about learning stuff. People will rationalise it away and they go, no, that's a bonkers thing to do. It was really painful last time I did it. But then nothing new happens if you don't make bonkers decisions.
What I need around me now is a good team. I'm doing too much myself. I've got a great guy in the office in Ricky. He was an apprentice 3.5-4 years ago, and he's now my right-hand man. I had a new guy called Tom Stark. We were having a chat about this off air. Got really good vibes about Tom. He's probably listening right now, so I'll say only lovely things about him.
Well, they've put a shout-out for you as well, lovely. Saying they're listening to you.
Cool, and I've got my fiancé, Tracy. She's heavily involved, you know, more in the kids' side of things than the parties. But, you know, so we're expanding that team, and good people. That's what Big Jam needs now. Mm. It's good. We've got really good brand awareness. People are buying into us.
What does good people look like to you?
Visually?
Whatever.
Yeah. Nice hair.
Solid party.
But you know what I mean? Because we use these phrases, don't we? So what's a good person to you?
A good person can listen, they're loyal, and they're willing to go the extra mile. You know, people who are bothered about what you're doing, they buy into
why. They're engaged.
Yeah.
You want people that are engaged, yeah? So many people come to work and just go through the motions.
Yeah.
And you go, why didn't you do that? Well, it's nothing to do with me. You want people that are engaged, that want to be part of what you're doing.
They've got to be as excited about what you do. You know, if they've got that burning with inside them.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And that's what makes a difference, is when people are engaged and really want to be part of what you're doing.
Just sharing a little bit of your passion, I think.
If they're just there for a job, you know, sorry, mate, I can't, it's 5 o'clock, it's time to go home. Not interested, that's not where we need to be these days. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Kevin. You know, for me, that's where I feel about things. People have got to be passionate about what they're doing, otherwise, why are you working here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love what you're doing. I love your passion too, and I love the fact that you've done all of these things. You've taken a risk. You've taken a chance. You've made it work. I'm sure you've had your setbacks. We all have setbacks along the way. But, you know, you're going from strength to strength, and we wish you much and continued success with that.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Kevin. If people want to find out more about Big Jam Studios, how can they do that?
Well, the main website is bigjamstudios.co.uk. So that's with an S, Big Jam Studios. And then we're at Big Jam Studios on everything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Fabulous.
Yeah, we're all over it.
Fantastic. Check out the website. Have a look. You're doing great stuff.
Thank you.
Kevin Thorpe of Big Jam Studios, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're kind of fast approaching the end of the show. We've still got tweets coming in.
Amanda
did tweet, actually, about, I don't know, did you read it?
Well, which one?
Amanda, when somebody asked, I think it was you, that asked about the speaker platform. And she,
what we're looking for.
She did. She did email
that. Shall I say what it is? So, Amanda from Butterflies Events has said to us, thanks for the great shout out for speakers platform, Vanilla Web, and Bird in a Bike. What makes a good speaker is subjective, but we are looking for those who speak with confidence and passion and connect with the audience. And she specifically put a GIF for me. A GIF. Yeah.
Oh, look, it's Oprah.
Everybody is starting to tweet us now. They're all, like, engaged now.
Have they woken up now?
Yeah. Oh. Everybody's like, whoa, what a great show. Thanks very much. Business Diaries went, Vanilla Web and Burn the Bike, so true, re-storytellers. No notes, no presentations, just stories from the heart. So there you go, Lisa.
Oprah.
We, what?
I've got 90 more.
Well, you have a look at them. We got Launch of Space co-working in Rye. Come along to the launch event to see and hear about the new flexible working business space available later in the year. So this is September the 13th, 5:30 till 7 in the evening. And that's a space co-working, the old cinema, the old cinema fish market.
Yeah, yeah.
How lovely is that? I think it's the old cinema. Get ready for this. I read this completely wrong. The old cinema fish market road, Rye.
It is.
I love Rye as well. It's such a pretty
town. I love it. Yeah. I only ever go riding there and then you're just in pain.
I happen to know the building and Jane, who's organising it. It is the old cinema. It is in Fish Market Road. And that event's going to be good fun. And they've got a top speaker speaking at it.
That little cinema they've got at the top of the hill right by the church. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
fantastic. I love going. We go down there around Christmas most years.
With this building, I've been in there three or four times now, and you can't conceptualise how it was as a cinema because it makes no sense because it's now their offices and their workspace. But it actually was two separate buildings where you walk through one to get to the other. So the screen was in a separate building to the rest of the, it's really hard. You come to it. As I say, it's going to be a good evening, and they've got a really brilliant speaker.
Did you catch up with your tweets?
We're getting there, but I've got loads of other stuff to read.
Tell
as well.
Us.
Have you ever thought about becoming a trainer?
What type of trainer?
Any kind of trainer.
A trainer as in on trains?
As in a Nike.
No.
Max.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, no, like corporate trainer, training courses.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Places are going fast for our Ashford workshop. Contact as soon as possible to reserve a place on Saturday the 15th of September from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's completely free. There's no cost at all. It's being done by Travel International, and they're a training company. And what they're doing is they're trying to give something back, and they decided there's lots of people about that have the skills to be teachers and trainers, maybe don't have the content yet, but need to know how to put together a training course and all the rest of it. So this is a free course to do exactly that. It's completely free. Come along and learn some training skills and see if it's for you. Yeah, so it's a chance to experiment. If you want to find out more, there's an email address, info@travol, T-R-A-V-O-L, -international.co.uk. That's info@travol, T-R-A-V-O-L, -international.co.uk.
Cool. Building Business with Purpose at SocEnt Kent is hosting a key social enterprise conference. I can't believe I'm actually going to say this date, the 23rd of November 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Almost Christmas.
I'm so excited.
Way past my birthday and on the way to Christmas.
That's snowboarding weather. That's all I will say then, isn't it? So we register. So this is for social entrepreneurs in Ashford. There's only 50 spaces. You need to register your interest now, and that's at www.
Wibbly wobbly way.
And that's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/sek/conference. But nobody will remember that anyway.
No. But it is all
it's
on.
It's there.
It's on my. It's on the website. It's on the Kent Business Radio website, and it's all over to my Twitter as well.
Exactly. At the end of this email that you've given me, it's the 30-30 Business in Schools programme.
Yeah,
you want to talk
that.
About it? You want to read it?
Well, read it out, and then I'll talk about it.
Okay. So help us bridge the gap between school and business as business owners, managers join. Business Bunker radio show and Jobs in Kent and the FSB to inspire the next generation of talent. And the next events at the 5th of September at Wilmington and the 21st of September at Rotherham?
Rotherham.
It doesn't say that.
It's pronounced Rotherham. You're as bad as Jules.
Rotherham.
No, it is definitely Rotherham.
Is it?
It's Rotherham.
You lot want to speak proper up here, I tell you.
Next you're going to be... Next, you're going to be telling me about Trotticliffe just outside of the Midway Towns.
You did that on purpose, didn't you? You give me this on purpose.
No, but...
How do you pronounce Lanton?
How do I pronounce what?
Launceston.
Launceston.
There you go. Yeah. It's not. It's Lanton.
Lanton.
There you go. Carry on.
Absolutely. You're not the worst.
Oh,
Jules is the worst.
Part.
Jules does Egerton for item.
And also but she's a proper BBC hello.
She's a BBC hello. Welcome to the BBC.
I'm not.
Yeah. West Malling, she
exactly.
does. She does West Malling as well.
And there's a www.worldwideweb. kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Tell us about it.
3030 is a programme we devised to try to bridge the gap between education and the world of work. So many business owners moan about young people and their lack of work skills. Yeah. And so many educational organisations bemoan the fact that they can't get in touch with business people. So we try to do something about that. It's a completely free programme that we take to schools in conjunction with the Federation of Small Business, and we'll take it to any school that asks for it. It's completely free. It's a couple of hours. And basically, we take 30 businesses, and they're normally local businesses, business owners, senior managers, partners in law firms or accounting practices or whatever, and we meet with approximately 30 A-level students. And we give some talks on the world of work. Normally myself and Deborah Turner, U-Image Consult, and Daryl Lynham, and we do talks to the students about the world of work, about careers. Deb does how to present yourself in the right way, both dress and communication. Daryl talks about career planning, CV preparation, and applying for jobs. The employers get to hear from various things on apprenticeships and stuff like that. And then we do speed networking, where the students get to talk to employers and the employers get to talk to students. It's always an eye-opener, always an eye-opener. The students don't know about the world of work quite clearly. Why should they? Yeah. And they get some real eye-openers about what you can actually do in the world of work these days. And to be fair, the businesses normally get an eye-opener about how many young people do have talents and the kind of talents that they need. And if we could get away from all the other nonsense that politicians talk about and stupid GCSEs and all that crap, we'd actually get somewhere. And that's what we do.
How do you really feel about it?
Don't get me started. Don't get
me
started.
You haven't got time anyway.
No, we haven't got time. But we've been running the programme for a couple of years now, and we've run it in quite a few schools, and we go back to schools time after time as well to do the new intakes. And it works. It's a great programme for both sides. You know, one of the things I tell employers, because a lot of employers go, yeah, I'll come along and educate them and all the rest of it. And I go, it's also a facility for you to listen. Because these people are going to be the workforce of the future, and you have to understand that their views on the workforce of the future is different to yours, yeah? And you need to understand that. You know, when you start talking about 9-to-5 jobs, they're going to switch off. Millennials don't do 9-to-5. You know, they don't get up until 11 for a start. Millennials don't do 9-to-5. We live in a connected world of 24/7, always on. You know, so trying to do a work day in a set silo is just rubbish.
But this brings us back to the learning thing.
Yeah.
You get to the point where you do not think you need to learn anymore. Therefore, you are the master, you're the expert. Yeah. So therefore, you don't think you need to go and listen to anybody.
Absolutely. And they've just announced earlier the unemployment figures again that have plummeted again. We're now down to 4% unemployment. It's the lowest it's ever been, ever. Almost 40 years.
They changed the way they count it, though.
Yeah. But there's 700
claimants, rather. So homeless people aren't counted as unemployed now.
Well, yeah. Funnily enough, the ONS today actually put a whole list of different categories out and showed all those figures. They actually showed those that are inactive, that's people that are retired or people that are so wealthy they don't need a job, people that are between jobs. So there's a whole heap of things. But basically, right now, today, we have 749,000 unfilled jobs in the UK, full-time jobs. We have a massive skills crisis. We have not enough people to fill the jobs that we've got. That's the biggest problem that we face. And we need to get young people in because we still have, although it's better than anywhere else in Europe, we still have 10% unemployment. Well, actually, it's 11% youth unemployment, and that's far too high. And not necessary. We have loads and loads of talented young people, and we need to get them into the workforce.
I knew this would get you off ranting.
It's, it's really, like, I work in quite a young industry, so a lot of craft beer brewers are millennials. And I just don't see this work-shy millennial lot at all.
It's not.
Some of the people I work with are some of the hardest working people I know.
And that, you're absolutely right.
They've set up their own businesses because employers have got this stupid Daily Mail style.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the problem, is there's this mismatch between what millennials and Generation Z, for those of you that want to feel really old.
That's us.
Yeah, Generation Z are those people that are just entering the workforce that were born after the year 2000. So millennials and Generation Z are coming into the workplace with a different set of criteria about what they want from the world of work and how they're prepared to work. And they're used to being in a connected society. That's the key thing. For older people running businesses that are used to the 9-to-5 treadmill type stuff, it doesn't work anymore. You know, millennials have phones and tablets and they answer emails at 11 o'clock at night or 4 in the morning or whenever. They don't do 9-to-5. And so it's an education process of both sides. And that's the issue, is there's this mismatch, this misunderstanding of both sides of it. So when we do the 30-30 program, our employers hear this kind of thing and go, oh, do you know, I'm not saying they like it, you know, because they're used to doing it their way. But that, if they want to attract, and they do want to attract, young people into their businesses, they've got to change their working practices to make it attractive for those people to come on.
And I know we've got no time left, but even mentioning a word CV makes me laugh nowadays. Yeah. Are we really, really still sending out CVs?
Yep.
I find it hilarious. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there you go.
If I want, I've got 458,000 CVs on my database. If I want to laugh, I read some of them.
Well, it's not even that. Surely now we shouldn't be doing CVs.
No,
it's
absolutely
crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's meaningless.
It's meaningless. Anyway.
Yep. I just want to tell you about one last thing and then we're done for
the
day.
Can you believe this?
I know. It's the Construction Expo South East 2018. Will be held in Sussex in the South East England Event Centre. It's more central, more accessible. The location is providing Construction Expo with the opportunity to continue to expand. It's happening on the 13th of September at the South of England Event Centre in Ardingly near Haywards Heath. To book, constructionexpouuk.co.uk.
And I'll be doing the bar there.
Are you?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
And you can meet Charles there because he's doing the bar there. So we've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that took part and to remind you that the Business Bunker Extra Show is on Friday at 11 o'clock, presented by Amanda Flanders, and her co-host this week is Molly Wright, Millie Molly Moodle, and their guest are Two of Harps. So do tune in, 11 o'clock on Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show. A huge thank you to Charles Richer of Love Beer UK, sorry, I'm trying to reach over there, and Kevin Thorpe of Big Jam Studios, my gorgeous co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike. We'll be back next week. Coming up later, we have...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always, on a Tuesday, we finish off with the fabulous Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture show. But we'll be back with another Business Bunker next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.